بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. My brothers and sisters, many times people ask this question about improving concentration in Salah, and Alhamdulillah, we are all in the need for this. I am merely reciting the lesson. It's not as if I don't need this lesson myself. I need it more than anybody else. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us concentration and khushu and khudu in Salah, inshallah. Now, how can we get that? The first and foremost thing, you know, when I was young and I used to go horse riding, I remember the first time I went to the riding club, they gave me a whole list of a kit that I must be outfitted in. So I had to wear breeches, which is jodhpurs and breeches. Jodhpurs or breeches, same thing. And then I had to have knee-high boots, and the boots had to be made in a particular way with a sole which is rigid and which is thick. And then I had to be wearing a shirt with a, especially when we have competition and so on and so forth, with a coat, a jacket, with a slit at the back so that it would fall on either side of the saddle. And then I had to have a hard hat, a helmet, and a crop. Now, I remember asking myself, and I think I probably asked somebody else, and said, why can't I ride in jeans? I mean, you know, why must I have all of this stuff? And they said, no, this is the seriousness of what you're doing. This is the proper way to ride a horse, is to be outfitted in these things. Now, each of these things also has some technical reason, and it improves your riding. It makes it more comfortable. But other than that, it's also the within quotes the proper way of riding, of proper way of dressage, and so on and so forth. Now, the same thing applies to all kinds of things that we do in life. When you go, I'm taking the example of sports because many people today are oriented towards that, whether they actually play the sport or not. At least they know something about it. You don't play tennis in football shoes. You don't play football in tennis shoes. You don't go golfing. When you go to golf, you wear certain kinds of shoes and you wear certain kinds of clothes. And so on and so forth. So also when we go to office, we dress in a particular way. Today it has become more and more relaxed. But no matter how relaxed it is, you could technically go to office in your underwear if you wanted. I mean, nobody would know. They might stop you, but they couldn't prevent you from leaving your house and at least reaching your office. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't go just wearing a pair of shorts and a singlet. You wouldn't go to office even wearing tracksuit trousers. Now, you might say, well, you know, I do. Well, good luck to you. Good thing you don't work for me because I wouldn't allow you inside my office. The point is that it's not because I am trying to sell, formal trousers. It's because how you dress indicates your attitude towards what you are going to do, right? If you are dressed in a lackadaisical manner, in a careless manner, your clothes are shabby, they are maybe not even too clean, then it shows that whatever you're going to do is really not very important. As far as you are concerned, it's just some one of those things. It doesn't matter. I can wear anything I want. I can brush my hair or not brush my hair. I can brush my teeth or not brush my teeth. I just go there. I just have to get this stuff over with, and that's it. Now, it shows the attitude of the person. Whereas, if a person comes properly clothed to do what he or she is doing, then it gives you also a sense of confidence. For example, imagine if a plumber is coming to do your work, and this plumber comes wearing a lungi, and he is, got a lungi and a banyan, and he's just come. Or the same plumber is coming wearing proper overalls, shoes, and so on and so forth. Which one would you prefer? We are not talking about his plumbing skill. Maybe the lungi guy has more skill than the other one. But we're saying here that the first impressions are the lasting impressions. And that first impression comes from how you are dressed. Now, think about how we go for Salah. You know, how do we stand for Salah? How do you go for Salah? Including going to the masjid, for example. I mean, I've seen people, I don't want to, you know, waste your time describing the dressing of people when they go to the masjid. But whether you're praying at home or at the masjid, praying at the masjid itself is, we'll talk about that in detail, but that is very much part of Salah. But I'm saying that if you are doing that, when you go to the masjid and you are dressed in a way which is inappropriate, today many people wear Bermudas, you know, long shorts. But when they sit in tashahud, the knees get uncovered. Now, that invalidates your salah because for men, the satar is from below the knees. It's not from above the knees. It's from below the knees to above the navel. Similarly, people wear hipsters' trousers, and when they go in ruku, the trouser slides down, and may Allah protect us. I mean, sometimes when you stand next to the person, you see that which cannot be unseen. What does that show about your own attitude towards salah? Right? So please make sure that you make proper good wudu. That doesn't mean that, you spend a huge amount of water doing that. Be economical with water, but make sure you have proper wudu and then wear decent clothes. I'm not saying go there dressed in a sherwani or a three-piece suit, but at the same time, wear decent clothes. First of all, clothes which are shara'i correct, which means that your satar is completely covered and so forth and will not get uncovered in the movements of the salah. And secondly, which are good, decent clothes. So, where you don't necessarily have to wear thobes or kurtas and pajamas and stuff. You can wear a western clothes, eastern clothes, any kind of clothes, as long as those clothes are decent, as long as they are clean, as long as they are neat. Put on some perfume, look good, smell good when you go for salah. I think this is the very important thing to do. Then when you come to the masjid, don't throw your shoes everywhere. Put them in their racks. All of this discipline towards salah is something which is very critical. You do that, and then when you stand in salah, again, covering of the head. I know, I'm not getting into the fiqh argument of this. Is salah valid, not valid? Of course, salah is valid, even if you pray without your head covered. But if you pray with your head covered, inshallah, this is a sign that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are standing there respectfully before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is your way of showing your respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. And that is so important for us to do, to make sure that we stand in a way where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, is pleased with us. So, cover your head. Wear a cap, wear a topi, wear a turban. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always, always, always prayed with his blessed head covered. There is only one hadith, one instance where he prayed without his head covered. And that was not when he was leading salah. That was not when he was being the imam. There's no narration where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did imamat or khitabat. He never did the khutbah, never did the imamat without his head covered. He always had his head covered. These are the beauty of the sunnah that we must try and follow everywhere. And of course, not everybody is a khatib, but not everybody is imam. But when we are praying also, it's very important for us to keep our heads covered. And if for some reason, if you don't have the head covering, that's fine. You can pray without that. But don't make that into the habit. Don't make that into the habit. Make the habit that you have your head covered. If someday it is not covered, that's okay, inshallah. So, taking care about yourself, taking care about your clothes, taking care about how you smell. I'm saying this particularly because especially in Ramadan, sometimes you find people come after iftar and they not only don't brush their teeth and so on and so forth. After they come, they also belch loudly. So first of all, it's a loud belch. And secondly, when the person belches, may Allah protect us, half the masjid knows what he had for iftar. And all of these things are disgusting, first of all. And secondly, they are indicative of a careless attitude towards salah, which, believe me, is of no use to anybody. So let us not do that. Let us make sure that we do our salah in a way where it adds grace to the ibadah. It's a beautiful ibadah. Let us add grace to the ibadah by being serious enough with it, inshallah. more later as we go along. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and to help us to worship Him in a way which He finds to His liking. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ